إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, لا تعمل أبصار ولكن تعمل قلوب التي في الصدور, which means it is not their eyes that go blind, it is the hearts which are in their chests which go blind. Before I go into this, let me share with you the thought that I had this morning. When I woke up, I thought to myself, what is the value of sight? I actually went into my study where I sit in the morning and do my tilawat, and I put on the lights. The lights are very bright. So suddenly, you know, you shut your eyes because of the brightness of the lights. And thought suddenly comes into the mind to say, like some sort of slight irritation, why are the lights so bright? And then I corrected myself and I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have sight, that I can see this light. What if you wake up in the morning and you cannot see? Wallahi, may Allah protect us from that. There's a very dear friend of mine and a student of mine in Malaysia called Mudassir Masihuddin. And one day he said to me, Shaykh, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that tomorrow when you wake up, I will give you all that you have thanked me for today. Tomorrow when you wake up, you will have all of the things that you thanked me for today. Now if you think about that, I don't think there is a single one of us on the face of this earth who will wake up in the morning without having lost something or the other which is dear to them. Because there is no way that we can possibly thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that we have on a daily basis. There's no way. I mean, no matter how thankful you are and how thoughtful you are and so on, if you simply sit and list down, you know, just our body alone, we cannot list the number of things that we have which are working without a problem and thank Allah for them on a daily basis. It's only the person who does not have that freedom anymore who thinks about it. If you think about, you know, is my body working all right? You know, are my knees all right? Is my back all right? Is my neck all right? And for each one of those things, how can you possibly thank? So if Allah had said, I will give you only what you thank me for, and I'm talking only about the body, then about the family and about your wealth and your, you know, whatever Allah has given, resources, children, so on. Now imagine if Allah had said that, if you did not thank me for it today, tomorrow morning you will not have it. Then what will happen? What will happen? Every single one of us will wake up in the morning and we find that so many things which are so dear to us and beloved to us have gone because we did not thank Allah for it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to continue to give us, even though we are not as thankful as we should be. So Mudassir said this, I therefore always remember this and say that if I did not thank Allah for my eyesight, then if I wake up in the morning and I find I don't have that eyesight anymore, then what will I do? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that and He didn't hold us accountable for it. But it's a good thought for us to keep in mind. So the issue of sight and the ayat which I recited. Now, the reason I recited this ayat is to remind myself and you that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he brought the message of Islam, what did he actually change? What was the message of Islam? What was the switch that was made in the lives of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain? Because when Islam came, if you look at the of Makkah society, you can see that Islam did not change anything in the external world. Islam did not bring a different economic model. Islam did not bring a different model of agriculture or industry or nothing, none of that. But what happened? Because what Islam brought completely transformed the society. It totally changed the society. It changed their principles. It changed the way they were organized. It changed their social hierarchies. It changed the order of importance of what they considered important and not important. It changed their entire view in terms of what they considered wealth. It changed their view in terms of what they considered to be important for human beings and how they valued people. I mean, I always say that Islam changed the definition of HNI, high net worth individual, from Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So they changed, Islam changed the concept and the definition of net worth. So how did this happen? I mean, how did all of this happen? What is it that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and said and brought? Because if you see what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought, there is no mention of net worth in the Quran. There is no mention of social order in the Quran. None of these are neither is there in the Sunnah. So how did he change? What did he change? And I believe that what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed is the way to look at the world. And that is what I call he changed sight. He changed people's perception. He changed people's, if we give an analogy, he changed their glasses through which they were viewing the world. He took off one set of glasses and he put on another set of glasses. I think most of us have been to have our eyes tested, get fitted with glasses. And if you go to the ophthalmologist, what they do is when they want to see in terms of what kind of lens and so on, he puts a frame onto your face and then he changes those lenses. And he puts one set of lens in one eye. He says, now look through this, is it clearer? Then he takes that off and he puts another one. Now is it clearer? And so on. So with that hopefully they have more accurate ways of predicting. But anyway, so they change the lenses until we can see clearly. Now, this is what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did with people. He changed their lenses. He changed the lenses with which they viewed the world. So what was the lens that they were using before? The lens that they were using before is, may Allah protect us and forgive us, is the lens that we are using to this day, which is to view the world in terms of purely material, purely temporary, purely here and now, purely what is present, what I can see, what I can feel, what I can touch, only this. We view the world from this context. What Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did was he changed this lens to viewing the world he changed the lens to viewing the world from the context of what comes hereafter. Therefore what? Therefore what? So I say, I have so much money, I have so much wealth, therefore what? I have good health, therefore what? I have children, therefore what? I do not have children, therefore what? I am rich, therefore what? I am poor, therefore what? I run a country, I am a king, therefore what? I am not a king, I am a subject. Therefore, so for everything, the question that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought and the lens that he changed was, so what? Therefore what? And that so what is what takes us to the Akhirah. So the Sahaba and the people who accepted Islam, they changed their glasses from the glasses of this dunya to the glasses of the Akhirah. Now when you look at the glasses of the Akhirah, it does not mean that you do not see the dunya, but you see the dunya differently. Instead of seeing the dunya as something for here and now, I have it, alhamdulillah, I enjoy it, to saying that this dunya is the place to earn the akhirah. To understand that this, whatever actions I do here and whatever rewards I get for those actions are not restricted only to this life, but they reflect on the life to come. So every action of mine here has a corresponding action, has a corresponding reaction, a corresponding reward in the life to come. Now this is the switch that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made. And the moment he made that switch, then the entire worldview changed. The people started looking at their actions. For example, if you, in terms of wealth, you say, well, I have money, I will enjoy it any way I like. There's no restriction. I can do whatever I want. Two, when the worldview changed, he said, no, I have wealth, I will enjoy it, but my enjoyment of the wealth is to say, what can this wealth get me in the akhirah? So instead of buying a more expensive horse, a person took that money and freed a slave. Now imagine that he could have done that, same money, and if he buys a better horse, it's not haram. He has a right to spend his money to get something nice. But he said, no, I already have a perfectly good horse. I don't need another more expensive horse. I take this money and I release a slave. I take this money and I help somebody. Right? And now this is what happened. And this is the switch, that mental switch that we need to make in our lives here. So we also, alhamdulillah, Islam does not prevent us from living good lives and enjoying them and so on. But if we can go beyond this and say, alhamdulillah, I have enough. What can I do now for my own akhirah? And this is again the switch to say that what we are doing is not for the sake of the person we are doing. This is for our own sake. And this is the ayat on Suratul Insan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they say that we don't ask you for thanks. We give you, we whatever we are doing is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even when we help somebody else, it is not so that we are doing some ihsan on someone, it is because it benefits me. I am helping a person, I am, you know, getting them out of their difficulty, I am doing whatever I am doing, not for them, but for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the mental switch that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought about. So on the face of it, it's such a simple thing, but it is also something which is so profound and so powerful, that if we do the same little switch in our heads, in our minds, then our entire future will change in this dunya and obviously in the akhirah. And that's the reason why I began with the ayat, لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Because it is only when the eyes of the heart open, when we understand in the heart what is the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ, His glory and majesty, that the desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. And then the person's whole approach to life changes. What he does or she does, who they obey, who they do not obey, all of this changes once that understanding comes. So it's not the eyes in the head. The eyes in the head are seeing the same things. You know, everyone is looking at the same thing. But it is what is inside. It's like I said in Juma yesterday, there is a man standing in the court of the king, and there's also a cat. So in terms of physical presence, they are both in the same place. The cat is also in the court of the king, and the man is also in the court of the king. But is there a difference between the man and the cat? What is that difference? The cat is also looking at the king. The cat's eyesight is probably much better than the eyesight of the man. Yet, the cat has no understanding and no concept of who is a king and what is a king and what can the king do for me and, you know, how is this beneficial for me, nothing. The cat is simply there in the room. But the man who is there in the room, he understands who is the king, he understands his relationship with the king, he understands this unique opportunity that he has to stand in front of the king. I may not get this opportunity ever again. Here I have this opportunity, and if I can say something good and if I can please the king, then the king will reward me and that will make my life. So the whole approach and the understanding of the man is completely different from that of the cat, even though they are both mammals, they both got the same faculties, they are both in the same place. But what is the difference? The difference is the understanding in the heart of the man. He understands who is the king. Whereas the cat doesn't understand who is the king. For the cat, it's another room. And that is the question I ask myself and you, to say that, do we understand where we are, what we are? Allah has given us this life. This life is the greatest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He gave it to us with Hidayat, He gave it to us with Islam, He gave it to us with love for Himself, with love for His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore we need to take advantage of that and take the decisions which will benefit us in this dunya wal akhir. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in this and to save us from doing the opposite. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.